following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Yeah, I want to pick up. We've been in the last 4 weeks. Brian has been speaking. I thought Brian did a great job, and I haven't actually spoke since June. So this is where I stand, I think, somewhere around here. And so I've just been preparing for a series I've been calling Isn't She Lovely? The Bride of Christ in the Book of Acts. And so I'm really excited about that. We're going to do that with kickoff. And I really do believe that there's something there that is so important that we understand, especially within the culture and the dialogue I'm sure you've been having as I've been having, and that is, what's with the church? What's with the church? All of us have these conversations with ourselves and with people around us. What's with the church? And so as we take probably the 3 or so months, we're going to just walk through the book of Acts. And I just really pray that God is going to use that in a way where we answer some of these questions. So for the next couple of weeks, we're just kind of coming back into a series that we started back in April, and it was improv in the book of Proverbs. And so we kind of lifted out main themes. And so today, one of those main themes is anger. Proverbs has an awful lot to say about anger. Have you ever seen a toddler throw a tantrum? Like where they just throw themselves on the ground and their arms are flailing and their legs are kicking in the air. It's a crazy scene. How about a student? High school student. Just lose it. I did go to school with a guy. He came the next day and his girlfriend broke up with him. And this guy proceeded to just punch holes in the wall until he hit a stud. And then he broke 2 knuckles, and it didn't seem to faze him too much. He just lost control. How about a mom with preschoolers, and she just loses it? Pans are flying, words are flying, and it's serious business because those little ones, I mean, they're just doing what little kids do, and it can be a scary scene. You see a man lose a temper? This is the scariest one of them all, isn't it? Because you never really know what they're going to do. I mean, it can range from wrecking the house to wrecking the car to wrecking the computer. And that man has the capabilities of even doing worse, where their spouse or their child or someone gets knocked down. Something about the temper, something about anger. There's something really, really key that we have to understand and often doesn't get talked about. I can't remember the last time I actually spoke on anger. And yet it's so central to really who we are as people, and that's what we want to really look at, because Proverbs spends actually a fair amount of time talking about it as well. Proverbs 19:19, not going to read all these. Proverbs 22:29 and Proverbs 15:1, where it says, a gentle answer actually turns away wrath, anger. There's something about anger that's central to who we are as people. And it tells us in Ephesians 4:26, something that's very important for us to understand, and we're going to sit on this one a little bit. It says, be angry, yet do not sin. And it's really simply saying this. There's an appropriate way to be angry, but there's an inappropriate way to be angry as well. And so in order for us to understand how to deal with it right, we have to understand there's an intense emotion that comes with anger. And we don't need to throw a tantrum. We don't need to throw a pan. And we don't need to throw a fist. Anger. It's a mysterious thing. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says this. It is better to be slow-tempered than famous. It is better to have self-control than to control an army. This is interesting because it's simply saying it takes way more courage to win your emotional battle than it does the actual war. Again, just honestly, those in this room, how many would say, anger is something that is extremely mysterious to me and often gets the better of me? Yeah, like all of us. So let's just agree together to be humble enough to allow God to speak where God needs to speak and roll up our sleeves, and let's see what God's word has to say about this very mysterious emotion. Before we begin, psychologists say that there, is it okay if I just leave this here? I don't want to drag this out. Is it all right? That's okay, Brian. That's fine. There's four primary emotions, okay? So, mad, here's maybe something you guys can recall. Mad, sad. Somebody else got the next one? Glad, and? Was that you, Owen? They threw bad in there because it's easier to remember than scared, guilty, or anxious. And so, really, these four, they say, depending on who you read, are your four primary emotions. And so, of course, the one we're looking at today is mad, having to do with anger, sad, sadness, gladness. In fact, actually, hey, get this. This is the way I remember it. I'm not really an artist, but I know I'm taking way more time than I should, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, mad. What kind of eyes would you have, right? That. How about sad? Same mouth, but I like to go like that. Does that look sad? Glad. How about glad? Well, we have a... I could only think of the eyes like that. I don't know if that's glad or I'm just freaking out. I don't know what to do. And then, of course, bad. I got round eyes and I'm not straight. Is that better? Okay. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Okay. So the emotion that we want to talk about is obviously mad. It's anger. It's that mysterious emotion. We have a pretty good handle on sad, on glad, even on bad, if it's anxiety or if it's guilt. Or we have a lot of conversations about these other three. It's this one that really confuses us most. Because when you think about it, why is it that someone's fuse is rather long, whereas someone else's is rather short? What is that? Genes? Luck of the draw? Like, where does that come from? Why is it that someone can take anger and just go inward with it, whereas someone else, they just hurl it outside at everybody around them? Where does that come from? We really don't know. There's a lot of questions about anger, but this much we do know about anger. God says in his word, the way we manage anger really is the ball game. We mismanage this, and it really does disqualify God's blessings that he has for you and myself. It just is so important that we have anger awareness. So the way I want to just talk a little bit more about this morning is I want to talk to you about someone in the Bible who had an anger problem. So I want to open it up a little bit, and I just want to see how long it's going to actually take before we land on the man who had the anger problem. So let's begin. Who is it? Okay, oh, shoot, man. All right, Moses. Okay, so Moses was the son of a Hebrew slave. That's pretty impressive, Matt, actually. But he also was raised in Pharaoh's home. So what this meant for Moses... I'm just a little off balance as to how fast you got Moses. I just thought, didn't we think Moses is this long-suffering, patient? I mean, he even carries the title of being one of the most righteous. I just never thought you'd get it that quickly. Thought you'd say Samson. Thought you'd say, you know, just humor me. Who else? That's the one I thought you'd say right away, Bruce. Zebulun. Where is he? Is he in the Bible? I don't know. He's your neighbor. Okay. All right, let's focus. We're going to go into Moses here. He had an interesting life because he really was a Hebrew son of a Hebrew slave, but he had the privileges of the Egyptian leadership, the Pharaoh. He was brought up in that home. And there was one day when an Egyptian was actually fighting and beating so badly one of his Hebrew brothers. And it tells us in Acts chapter 7. This is Moses now. And when Moses, he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. Moses fled, and 40 years had passed. An angel appeared to him in the wilderness in the flame of a burning thorn bush. And so here we have the story of Moses. He had options. He had a fair amount of authority, we have to believe. He could have gone about doing this in a different way, but he didn't. He went into a rage, and he just beat the daylights out of this guy, kills him, and it gets found out he leaves the country because he's in trouble. He ends up spending 40 years of his life walking on hot sand. And finally, God gets a hold of him, draws his attention, and renews the next purpose of his life. And so we see that his anger problem certainly was there, but it didn't end there. God calls Moses, and he has this pretty large assignment, and that is to lead a couple million people. Think about that, out of Egypt. And so to manage that many people, there's days where they just grumbled, and every time we see that this huge mass of people are grumbling, we read Moses becomes frustrated and angry. I would too. You would too. And it happened so many times that it kind of hit a wall in Meribah. Numbers 20 tells the story. The people want water. They're thirsty. And the Lord speaks to Moses after Moses says, God, they're mumbling. They're grumbling again. God gave Moses specific instructions. Moses, this is what you do. Speak to the rock, and I will provide. What does Moses do? He launches into a tirade with the people. He's just calling, you guys are nothing but a bunch of rebels. Takes his stick, whacks the rock, water comes. But in that one uncontrolled act of anger, God withholds Moses ever being ever to enter into the promised land. That one, I often wonder, like, did he really see what had just taken place? And I wonder sometimes, friends, you and I, do we ever really, are we aware of the times when you and I blow it? Our anger just is wrong, and we've missed the blessings of God. How many blessings have I lost because of uncontrolled anger? Moses, he loses a big one because his heart is angry and he just has lost love for the people and smokes on the rock. I want to talk about three different aspects of this anger and just give us some hooks, some handles as to what do we think about in regards to anger. And the first is just simply this. I think it's really important for us to see anger as God's warning system. God's warning system. So when you think about it in this way, we have to understand that anger actually is a God-given emotion. That's right. So many of us, we believe that somehow anger is that evil emotion that we need to somehow suppress or do something else with, rather than to actually view it as something that God was instrumental in giving us in the first place. Anger is a God-given emotion. However, what we need to do is we need to understand, well, why is it there and what's it for? And we have to see it then as God's potential warning system. And when we start to feel these things, we can already say to ourselves, okay, there's some potential dangers that are coming my way. What is going on? Danger, danger. It's like warning lights in our car. Warning light comes up. It's telling you, hey, you're almost out of gas. What are you going to do? Well, I think I can get another 5K. You know, we have to pay attention to the gauge. In a way, in our own lives, God has given us a great warning system. It's something called anger. Ephesians 4, again, the verse I referred to earlier, verse 26, says, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil opportunity. Let's take this part a little bit. It really is saying, when anger is present, we should acknowledge it. I believe right now, I'm feeling quite angry. We should really acknowledge it. We have to say, what's going on? But then we have to control it. God tells you and I, we have the ability to do this with strength from Him. The last thing that we have to do, the last thing that we should do, is to hang on to unresolved anger. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Otherwise, the verse says, if we do, we leave an opportunity for the enemy, for the devil, to come in and come and control us, to allow us to say and do things that we are not going to feel good about. I just finished a book last week called You Cannot Be Serious. It's a biography of John McEnroe. And back in the day when I really enjoyed tennis, he was, of course, front and center stage. And the book was so interesting to me, just simply the premise being, you know, John is struggling because he's known to be a person that everyone pretty much understands him to be, and that is he loses his temper. He's the guy who loses his temper. He's the guy that can't control anger. You know, he struggles with the fact that people don't see him as a great tennis player, and actually now as a commentator. The whole book was just simply saying, what do you do? What do you do when people have you so pinned in one area of life, which I'm embarrassed by, always have been embarrassed by, and yet I don't want to be known for that anymore? Hey, good luck with that. It's very eye-opening. So as we go through life, we have to understand that when we carry unresolved anger, we're giving the devil an opportunity to come in, control us. And that warning, here, listen, friends, that warning is so key because at that point, there's no sin yet. We're feeling angry. We're getting all of this warning. There's maybe even a little smoke, but there's no sin yet. But it's crouching right at the door. This is how it works in Cain and Abel's life. Genesis 4, verse 5 says this. So Cain, he became very angry, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, listen, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must master it. You see, in Cain's life, it was his countenance. He felt angry, no question about it. And it should have been warning him, Cain, danger. You are in a dangerous place right here, right now. It's crouching right at the door. You misplay this, it's a big problem. But your heart's not there yet, Cain. Play it well, and it'll go well for you. And as you know the story, he misplayed. And he lost the blessing of God on his life because of it. But God warned him. And I love that picture of just, Cain, I know where you are. Do this right, and you've been angry, and you haven't sinned. Do this wrong, and you've sinned in your anger. I wonder how many times we're just so angry that we've missed God's voice to us just simply saying, I know you're angry. I know you're feeling some deep things here. Be careful how you play this one out. Because if you play it wrong, it's going to go really badly for you. If you play it right, watch what I do in molding and making you into the person that I want you to be. If we go through seasons and we continually fail to see these warning signs of anger, this is going to be a hard one. But if we do see them as warning signs, this is what we need to do. The first thing we need to do is just simply say, we have to ask God, okay, God, what is it you're trying to tell me? What is it that you're trying to get my attention on? What is it in me that I need to see changed? Is it pride? Is it forgiveness of someone? Is it my laziness? Is it responsibilities that I don't want to take? God, what is it? What is it that you're wanting to say? Because I'm feeling angry right now. And I just don't know what. I don't know what. So, first thing, when we feel angry, see it as a warning system from God. Number two, this is so important, friends. We have to eliminate combustibles in our life. We've had 300 or so fires in our province over the last weeks. One of the things that we know for sure is that fires always start, don't they, from some kind of debris that's been left. We were evacuated a couple of summers ago because of a campfire, and the debris around the campfire caught, and we had to leave our home. There's something about just stuff, clutter. And if there's anything within our lives, so oftentimes, friends, would you just feel the way I feel often? I have residue in my life. Relational residue. Unresolved residue. Debris. Things that you've hung on to. Things that you've, you know, past things that just seem so quickly to bring up. And it's residue and it's combustible. And those are the things that, you know, we sometimes keep score on the matter. And we hang on to these things, and all it takes is just a little spark. And all of a sudden, we've got an explosion. And it's because we've got all of these combustibles. You know, this unresolved issue, and this thing you're keeping score with, and that word didn't go so good, and this relationship went south, and on and on and on it goes, and they're all combustibles. And the fact is that the more combustibles that we accumulate, the easier it is for these explosions to just take off. And we have, friends, we have to learn. And we have to learn is the hard part. We have to eliminate them. We have to eliminate them. Eliminate the combustibles. Because if we don't, oftentimes it can just take a little disagreement with someone that really we love. And we can hurt them so badly. Maybe our child. Maybe our spouse. Maybe a friend. And they weren't even directly related with the thing in the first place. But we so badly hurt them because we didn't eliminate combustibles. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Eliminate the combustibles, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Now here's an interesting thing, back to forest fires. We, you know, and you have too, I'm sure, you see what forest fires firemen have to do. After a fire's knocked down, they spend the next number of days, it happened right here on Kirshner when the building exploded, days where they were just spraying water. You know, if it's in the bush, on the dirt, if it's in town, on the building, and the fire's gone. Why do they do that? What are they trying to eliminate? What are they going after? You know what it is? It's hot spots. It's hot spots. You can't see them, but they're there. And you just need to spray water on these hot spots, because if you don't, even though there's no visible flames, it takes nothing for a flare-up to take place again. And friends, it's so much like our heart as well, right? If we have not taken care of eliminating the combustibles, the flame might be knocked down. We can say, you know, I forgive you. But if we have not done the heart work, the real work, the inner core work, we just say, yeah, still have residue there. Like, why do I still feel angry? It's a hot spot. And it just takes a little spark. And that thing can be back up and flaring. And friends, God is just simply saying, you've got to take care of the hot spots. How do you do that? Here's how. We really need the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to help point and hold us almost accountable to make sure that we don't stuff down or somehow deny the importance of, move past those issues, because they're hot spots. And that's why what we really do, wow, I lost everything here, eh? That's why we need to do what we talk about a lot around here is daily devotions. Friends, we've got a new reading guide out here for the month of September. We've got a main guide, and it's a couple chapters a day. We have a mini guide, which is a couple verses a day. If you're new at this, I would just encourage you to just do the mini guide, a couple verses a day. It's going to be in the book of Acts. It's where we're going as a church. It'll kind of get your heart primed and ready to go. But friends, the reason that I'm even raising this is this. You may think you've got your anger dealt with. You may think that it's all okay. And for some reason, there's something underneath there that's not quite right. You need God. And just by simply allowing His word to wash over your heart, The Holy Spirit promises, I'm going to point out some things to you in your life that you need to hear. And these are the things that you're going to have to just deal with. You need to do your devotions. You need to do your daily devotions. Otherwise, your hearts become hard and dry. And that's where fires just take off. That's where it takes off. So let God's Spirit reign on your heart so that God can reign in your heart. Daily devotions. You'll learn in your devotions that there's some practices and principles that obviously are really key, and one of them is forgiveness. We need to be a forgiving people. We need to be a forgiving brother or forgiving sister. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, when you forgive people for what they have done, well, I forgive them too. I do it in Christ's presence in order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand over us, for we know what his plans are. When we do devotions, when we allow God's word to wash over our heart, there's something that the Holy Spirit promises to do. I'm going to reveal to you some things that you need to see. But you got to know that the Satan is so clever. If he knows that you and I were just hoarding combustibles in our life, I mean, he's just so sharp. He's just going to look for ways where we just bump noses with one another, where there's just a little spark, and he'll allow well-meaning Christians just kind of find ways where he just sits back and we burn each other. Anger. So how we apply this proactively, it's just like placing water, just like firefighters. They just place water on those hot spots and they just let it clean itself out. They let those hot spots eventually just go away. So the first thing with anger we really do need to do is we need to acknowledge it. Second thing we need to do is we just really need to eliminate stuff. Eliminate the combustibles. Last, I want to talk to you about what the positive side of anger really is. Because it's really an engine, isn't it? It provides horsepower for us to do things. Listen, friends, anger can be a great thing. You can be so angry with a situation. You see some injustice taking place and you got an anger going on. You say, wow, like that is just not going to happen. And we engage, and that's a good thing. We see something within our own life. We may get angry at the fact that we've got a marriage that isn't working right. We can get angry about that. That's a good thing. We can get angry with the way that we're just so ineffective in raising our kids, or we're not pure, and when people aren't around, we're viewing materials that we have no... We can get angry about that, and we should. Anger is a powerful thing. Helps us get good things done. But we just got to really navigate how it is that we use this rocket fuel. So let me just say this obvious statement, and that is God is really trying to only really do one thing in my life and your life, and that is this. God is trying to work those things that hinder us from being a passionately committed follower of Jesus. I mean, our mission here for as long as we've started this church almost 13 years ago was leading people to become something. What is it? Passionately committed follower of Jesus. Wherever you live, whatever your job, whatever you do. And God knows that anger can get in the way of that. God knows that if we don't deal with anger right, it's going to block godly character being formed in you and I. And so God uses tests. We already know that. God uses trials. Been there. We get frustrated. We know that. All of these things, God says, I'm going to use these to bring shape, molding, and making into your life. Now, the thing is are we going to cooperate with God? The next time you feel anger so deeply, we have to just ask ourselves, okay, God, what's going on? What do you want me to be aware of? Am I eliminating the combustibles? And now, God, there's some energy behind this thing that I'm feeling. You want to do a change in my life. That rocket fuel is starting to push. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8 says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. Change needed. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. And so really what it's telling us, if we don't deal with this horsepower rocket fuel correctly, we're going to be blinded by our own anger. And we're going to miss everything that God wants to do. God wants to do in you and in me a work And if we don't deal with anger right, it hinders. It blinds us. We get all revved up, and we get in the way of what God wants to do. And I know we all fail at this. But is it good that we can just come together and just say, God, okay. And you know, this is true of me. Like, anger is just way too strong in my life, and I lose it way more than I should. I really want to get over this. When we come to that particular posture in life, we then see anger as a way God actually is going to try and bring change in your and my life. It's a change agent. I don't know if you've ever thought of anger that way, but it's the potential of new beginnings, and change is needed. Listen to this, James 1:19. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And again, what it's really just simply saying is we've got to be prepared to change some things. We've got to be prepared to act differently when that emotion of anger comes our way. God, what are you saying? Have I eliminated combustibles? What do you want to change in my life? And then, you know, God can do that. So the question I have for you, for me, is, okay, when you deal with anger, what is it that you've typically done? What is it that you typically say? What is it that you feel you need to do differently? What do you get angry about most often? Is it when you feel people have wronged you, gypped you, taken credit for something that you believed was yours? Is it that you're getting so beat up in the workplace that when you come home, you take it out on your family? Is that your typical fashion? What do we do with anger? Again, friends, ask God what it is that he's trying to point out in your life. But be prepared to make some necessary changes. Let me just take another minute to just push on this one a little harder. In a setting like this, when we talk about things, we're talking about anger. It's very believable, I think, and easy for us all to do this. And that is, we can contemplate, okay, I don't know why I'm so angry, but I'm so angry in my marriage. I am so angry in my marriage right now. And we can feel that emotion, and we can almost short circuit what we believe God wants to do with it, because we feel it, and we've said we've felt it, but we actually are prepared to tolerate more of the same. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if we can feel really angry about something, and we're willing to tolerate, though, more of the same, God's not going to change anything. Yeah, okay, let's be angry about our marriage. Let's get serious about what it is that needs to change in our marriage. And let's just decide, I am not going to tolerate any more of that anymore. Decided today. Same with your finances. I get so angry the way that I deal with my money. I'm always in debt. Well, it's fine to be angry about it. Are you willing to tolerate more of the same? Or are you going to decide, no, that's enough? I mean, what about your job situation? I just hate my job. I'm so angry. What are you going to do? It's one thing to be angry about, but what are you going to decide to do? I hope that there's something in you that sees, wow, like, I really can advance God's work in my life with the things that I'm actually angry about. And maybe it's those things that God most wants to work in my life right now. Worship team, why don't you come on up as I just finish up here a bit. But I want us to just be aware that anger is, number one, it's a God-given emotion. And that it's a warning system that can help you and I be aware of maybe something that, you know, we really have not paid attention to in the past. And maybe because the dashboard of our life is saying, you're actually feeling some things here. Be aware of that. That's the first thing. God's warning system. But the way that life goes, we also understand that there's just maintenance, relational maintenance. There's unresolved things. There's times where we're hanging on, friends, honestly, way too long. Sometimes the relational bangs that we've had in our life. And I would encourage you even today to just, you know, as we enter into a time where we just lift our voice and give God our focus, that maybe even more than the words that we sing, that there'd be a commitment that you'd say, God, I want to just lay it down, that person or that event, this issue. I want to lay it down. I choose to. I want to eliminate combustibles. Can we just use the next few moments as we worship for that exercise to just be taking place all over this room? Just to eliminate combustibles. God, please forgive me for hanging on to that for way too long. I don't want that in my life. And the beautiful thing is, lastly, to allow anger to really be rocket fuel for us to become the man, the woman, the student, the boy, the girl, the person that God wants us to become. It's a great engine. We just need to know how to control it and allow God to do that good work. Father in heaven, I just pray that right now, you know, your word, these verses that we've read, God, that you would allow our hearts to really be drawn close to you, that we would understand something more about anger than we did, but not just understand it, not just know it. But God, I pray as a people that we would really understand that if we get this right, imagine what that could be like. If all of us got this right, if we all got this right, we would really be a people that would represent a light on a hill. As we just deal with our anger in a godly way. And we can be angry. We're just not sitting in it. We're going to allow you to do that good work in us that you promised to do. God, I pray for those that don't know you today that they're here. I just pray they take a step toward you. And so now, Lord, as we just want to focus our hearts on you, I ask that you'd continue to do that heart work that we all need in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's have a benediction. God, thank you. And may you bless this people and keep this people. May you smile on these people and be gracious to them. Show them your favor, grant to them your peace. And may we be a people that understands better the powerful thing of anger, so that we use it well, we spread the fame and the reputation of our great God. And everybody agreed and said, Amen.